I'm giving up. I'm giving up following Jesus. It's too hard and painful. The world offers me so much more. I'm sick and tired of things going wrong. Life is just so, so hard. Some of my friends and family have passed away. My marriage is broken. The person I was dating decided to date someone else. My ATAR was not high enough. My children are not living the life I expected. My minister never listens to my ideas about making the service better. I am tired of being sick and unwell. My mental health is weighing me down. Retirement is not what I thought it would be. My boss is bullying me and I hate where I work. And to top it off, part of my church burned down 2 weeks ago. Thankfully, I still follow Jesus. I think we can all resonate with some of those experiences. Having a faith in Jesus is running the best and the hardest race of our lives. We become exhausted. There is a stitch in our sides as we suck spiritual air and we wonder how we can go on. Some quit the race in their minds. They are saved, but they're just going through the motions, no longer running to win. Others hang in there, huffing and puffing up and down the mountains and through the rivers. They have endurance. They want to win the ultimate prize. The promise of being made perfect by our Heavenly Father. So what does Christian faith look like? Faith is an assurance and a conviction. Faith is sure of things we hope for because they have been promised by God. Faith is convinced of things we cannot see because they have been revealed by God. Faith believes what God has revealed and trusts what God has promised. And that promise is, God promises that his love will never fail and that he is faithful in every way. No matter what happens in our lives, his love for us is unending and unbreakable. Since God is eternal, his love for us will last for eternity. I want to posture three things this evening. Firstly, let's look back and be inspired. Secondly, Jesus is not just an example to us. And thirdly, Jesus equals endurance. Let's look back and be inspired. Hebrews 11 shows us what faith looks like and to look back and be inspired. We see here distinct aspects of faith. Faith that listens to God, faith that walks with God, and faith that fears God. Faith that obeys God, faith that receives from God, and faith that submits to God. Faith that worships God, faith that hopes in God, faith that depends on God, and faith that commits to God. I'm not going to attempt to tell the stories of all the heroes of faith this evening mentioned in Hebrews 11. I could be here 4 weeks. The point here for all of us is that the examples of genuine faith are not few, but they are many. We should be encouraged and inspired. In verses 32 to 37, the writer goes on to describe the achievements and anguishes of the heroes of faith. It lists achievements like conquering kingdoms, enforcing justice, and stopping the mouths of lions. Verses 35 to 37 list some of the anguishes. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release. Others were mocked, flogged, and stoned to death. The world was not worthy of them. The whole point of Hebrews 11 is that we are in the same position as these Old Testament believers. We believe as they believed. We must endure as they endured. We look to Jesus as they look to Jesus. Let's look back and be inspired by these heroes of faith. Jesus is not just an example. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. These words are really important because they remind us that Jesus is more than our example. You can admire a basketballer like Michael Jordan, defying gravity on a basketball court, but that does not give you the ability to do what he did. You can admire all those amazing tennis players at the Oz Open, but none of us here in this room this evening are ever going to win a Grand Slam. Shocking, I know. If the message of this chapter was to say, Enoch walked with God, Noah feared God, Abraham obeyed God, Rahab committed to God, so get your act together and follow their example, we would all be saying, how can we match up to them? If we were told simply that Jesus is our example and now we must step up and live a life like his, we would all be saying, how can we ever match up to Jesus? So thank you, God, that the message of this chapter is not these heroes of faith were great and you should try and do better. The message is the same faith that was formed in them has also been formed in you. And Jesus is the one who has formed that faith. Jesus is more than our example of faith. Jesus is the founder of our faith. You believe, you have faith. How did this come about? Jesus formed this faith in you. He is the founder of your faith. He laid hold of you. He put his spirit in you. He opened your eyes to the truth. He brought your faith into being. And Jesus is the perfecter of your faith. A perfecter is a person who brings something to completion. Faith does not. Noah got drunk, Abraham lied about his wife, Moses lost his temper, and oh my goodness, Jacob was just a miserable old man. They were all flawed people as we are, but Jesus will make them perfect and he will do the same for us. In verse 40 it says this, God planned to give us something better. Then they would be made perfect, but only together with us. Let's be honest. Our faith is far from perfect. However, Jesus will perfect our faith. He will bring it to completion. He will vindicate your faith by bringing you into all that he has promised. And he will do this when all of his family are gathered together. Jesus equals endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that he has set before us, looking to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Hebrews was given first to Jewish believers who were facing very difficult days. They had endured a hard struggle with many sufferings. They had been publicly rebuked and their homes had been plundered. The strain of this was beginning to tell, and the writer tells them, You need to have endurance. You read that and you find yourself saying, that's me. That's what I need. I need it now. I need endurance. But how am I going to get it? 2 weeks ago, none of us here would have dreamed that Q would have a major fire. Obviously, it has hit some of us hard. How can anything more go wrong with the property in Q? But I see an opportunity to come together as one church and be thankful for all of his blessings in this situation. This story is now part of my race and your race to the finish line. How will history view each one of us as members of St. Hilary's? That we endured this race and looked towards Jesus and built a flourishing, gospel-focused, prayerful, people-loving, Jesus-loving church? Or will we just give up because that's the easier option? Will I just sit on the sidelines and do the bare minimum? But here's the question. How does faith enable us to endure? We've seen that faith listens to God, walks with God, fears God, obeys God, receives from God, submits to God, worships God, hopes in God, depends on God, and commits to God. How does faith do these things? Faith joins us to Jesus in a spiritual union in which what is his becomes ours. I'm going to say that again. Faith joins us to Jesus in a spiritual union in which what is his becomes ours. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you are in Christ, the life that is in Jesus flows into you. Paul says, Christ lives in me. When Christ lives in you, he gives you a righteousness you would not have on your own. When Christ lives in you, he gives you a strength that you would not have on your own. When Christ lives in you, he gives you a peace you would not have on your own. When Christ lives in you, he gives you an endurance you would not have on your own. Faith believes what God has revealed and trusts what God has promised. So, what are some practical applications for Christian endurance? The first one is gratitude. To endure means to just hold on, to keep things steady until you reach the other side. But endurance for the Christian should not be without gratitude. For a life without gratitude is a life lived in disobedience. To be clear, the command here is not to give thanks for everything, but to give thanks in everything. Those are two very different things. It means no matter what situation you find yourself in, there's always something to thank God for. Contentment. The temptation during a season of endurance is to spend your days wishing for things to be different or remembering the days when things were so much better. So we drift into self-pity, pining away for what might have been. For believers, a season of endurance is an opportunity to grow in contentment, to know that following Jesus is enough. And faith. A season of endurance doesn't feel good. In fact, it feels really hard. It's painful because we live with a daily sense of loss and longing and the temptation to lapse into self-pity and why me? I know it's hard, but as Jesus people, we need to keep our eyes fixed on him. during a season of endurance, let faith, not feelings, take the lead. Otherwise, we can become bitter and twisted. We criticize instead of finding things to be thankful for. I'm not saying here that we cannot have reactions or emotions to life's unexpected, sad, and tragic moments. I am saying that we have to try and make sure they don't become a distraction to our faith in Jesus. When we have a faith in Jesus, it's a wisdom, a goodness, and a sovereign design of God that He will do what's right in the end. Based on faith in Him, we can endure anything. Look at the endurance of Jesus. He endured the cross. The Saviour who endured the cross lives in you by His Holy Spirit. And because He lives in you, you will be able to endure as you run the race that is set before you and before me.